ago, two lessons ago, we learned that women don't have an obligation of learning Torah or of teaching Torah. And that essentially the source of that is, source being the Shinantan Livanecha, and then the Gemara says Livanecha meaning your sons and not your daughters. We'll have to define, after we plow through this material, we're going to have to plow, and we'll see more material of this. We're going to have to try to understand, firstly, why is it that women are obligated to Birkat HaTorah? The women are obligated to Brachot, maybe for learning Torah, for the Shachar. And if that's true, you know, how do they make a Brachot that they're obligated, that if you make it, they're not obligated? And I said, women are obligated to recite Birkat HaTorah, for the Shachar. You're obligated to recite all Birkat HaTorah, including Birkat HaTorah. and we'll have to understand, in light of that, try to understand a woman's obligation in Torah. What is this obligation in Torah? We'll spend a lot of time doing that. But first, what we're going to try to do is learn some of them. We can't do anything at the same time. We have to sort of go through the raw material, and by essentially clashing what we've learned now, we're learning now that a woman doesn't have an obligation to Torah, with the obligation to make the Birkat HaTorah, what does that mean? What does it say about a woman's relationship to Torah? How do we understand it? And there's some very interesting material on it, which sort of brings the whole subject together. Yes?
If you touch on it,
there's no question. We've already hinted to a great deal of something. The women clearly have an obligation of knowledge of Torah, knowledge of halacha, but that's the obligation of learning Torah. We'll have to define this sort of but this is coming out because we're being forced by the text, and when we read some more text today, then we'll say, you know, women have to do something. It doesn't make sense. I mean, a priori doesn't make sense. Okay, but I'd rather do it where, you know, it sort of comes out of, you see it coming out of the sources themselves rather than spoon feeding you. Because I think that's the proper way of learning the material. Okay, so to summarize then, we saw two lessons ago that women are not obligated to learn Torah, they're only obligated to teach their children Torah. That is an obligation that falls upon the male folk. Last week we spent a lot of time talking about whether a father should teach his daughter Torah. And there we saw that despite the fact that Ben Azai seems to suggest that yes, a father does have an obligation to learn Torah, and the way we understood it was that there are a lot of, even though it's not obligated to learn Torah, there are a lot of benefits to be accrued from her knowledge of the Torah, the reasoning, the rationale, and the example that first brought up Ben Azai to this realization was the case of Sota, where he said if she understands that the Zchut HaTorah can protect her if she sins, or somebody else who sins, then she won't make light of, if she sees the person doesn't die instantaneously, maybe be delayed a year, 2 years, 3 years, because she'll understand that there's such a concept as schut negin. Please take one of the sheets. Anyway, we saw a variety of other opinions, the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hokinus, who said, and based on the Rishami that we learned last week, which discusses a woman who came and asked Rabbi Eliezer what the rationale was for the three forms of Nita by the Chet HaEgel, that Rabbi Eliezer has strong objections to women learning Torah Shabbat. Okay, but we saw that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah seem to be even more strict. They have objections to women in Torah in general. in light of this, of this discussion, we have to understand a variety of sources, which simply won't make this, don't make sense. Turn over, let's look at source number 4. He who has forsworn deriving any pleasure from his fellow. Nevertheless, the halacha says, "Melamdo medrash hanachot vagadot, avolo yelamdenu mikan." This fellow who is forsworn to have any pleasure from is allowed to teach him medrash and halacha and agada. These are, he's allowed to teach him Torah, avolo yelamdenu mikan. He's not allowed to teach him mikan. The Mefarshim go into a discussion of this, saying that he's getting some financial benefit, mikra, something that you paid for. I don't want to go into this. Aval melamidu et banav ve'et benotav mikra. The edition of the midrash that we have in front of us states that he can teach his sons and daughters mikra. And notice the parenthesis says, "Ekachet yisab esvorim shalom." That's our yisab. Ulam yesh she'engosim. Now, according to the text in front of us, this source would seem to imply that there's no problem teaching your daughters Torah Shebichtav. It says Mikra, right? Although it's not a conclusive proof, because as we see here, there are varying readings. In fact, most of the Rishonim don't have the reading Ve'ed Benotav. I'm just bringing to your attention that there is a unconclusive source about teaching girls, teaching women, Torah Shebichtav. Okay, now, next Gemara. This is a Mishnah in Kedushin. Lo yelamed adam ravak. A single man, panui b'lo isha, says Rashi, sofrim, should not teach, what is a sofrim? Rashi says, lo yelgil ravak atzmo liyot, min ha-sofrim, the book learners, actually what it means, melamdei tinokot, those who teach children. That is, a single man should not teach children. Why? We'll see in a second. V'lo telamed isha sofrim, nor should any woman, married or not, what a situation change. The most can deal with it. It's not trivial. It's not trivial. Lo telamed, but that's not today's lesson. Lo telamed isha sofrim, Rashi, Lo tergil atzma liot melamdei tinokot. That your woman should not be a school mom. Okay? Gemara, so the Gemara asks, my tata, what's the reason, right, why a male, single male, should not teach children? Ili ma mishum yinukai. Is it because of the children? That you're afraid of, because of the, put it this way, the sexual integrity of the children? Vatanya, Amru lo le Rabbi Yehuda lo nechshedu Yisrael amishkav zachur lo al neima. Although the law books are filled with laws about homosexuality and pedophilia, whatever it is, with animals, nevertheless, lo nechshedu Yisrael. Jews were not suspect of this problem. And that's why halachically there's no prohibition on the books about men sleeping in the same bed together, there's no halachic problem. There's no problem about it. Okay? So we don't worry about, that's not something that we worry about as a normative situation. Ela ravak mishum amhata diyunuka. A simple tie, because the mothers of the children. Rashi, imotem shatino koshim etziot etzlo lavi et b'neyem levet ha-sefer. I'm afraid that it might lead to a promiscuous situation. Isha, but a woman being a school teacher, mishum avatad yinuka, because the woman, because of the fathers, of the children, to bring the children to school. All right? No, wait a second, wait, don't you wait, turn that's the punchline. What's the punchline? What's the problem here?
What about married men?
No. Tonight's lecture is not about sexuality. Tonight's lecture is about women learning Torah. How can she be a teacher in the school teaching Chumash? How did she learn? Where did she get the information? How does she know enough to be a school teacher? Chumash, Tanakh, and Dinim, where did she learn it? She learned it herself. Maybe she learned it herself, but it's a problem, right? The text is part of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, these women are not learning nothing. Right? Well, she's going to be a schoolmate. Now, the problem of her teaching, the text does say the problem of her teaching is because where did she get the knowledge? How did she know how to teach? Right? Where did she get her certification from? The Gemara, the Mishnah says, it does the promiscuous situation.
Well, wouldn't this be about teaching any subject? Because the same situation holds true.
We're talking about little children.
Nobody can be about that. It's also doesn't just have to be about the Torah.
You're 100% correct. But they didn't learn mathematics.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
You're right. And most of them have to deal with the modern situation, which women do most of the teaching. And that's a reality that's not true. But anyway, again, you see, women knowledgeable enough to teach school. Right? Okay, source number 6. Nice. This is the, we're going to read now. Sukim from Yeshayahu, Perek Yud, and the pasuk goes as follows. During the time of Yeshua, Yeshayahu, Sancheirah, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was attacked by Sancheirah. And Yeshayahu says to Sancheirah, to Chizkiyahu, don't be afraid. Lechein Amar Hashem Tzvakot, Hashem Tzvakot, Al Tira Ami Yoshei Tzion Ashur. You dwellers of Zion, don't be afraid of Ashur. Vaya bayomahu, when the day comes, Yesus subalo, subalo is his burden for the Seder. Yesus subalo me'al shechnecha is the yoke, the burden of Sancheirah, the king of Ashur, will be removed from your shoulders. V'ulo me'al tzarechen, his yoke from upon your neck. V'chubal ol mipnei shamin. And the yoke will be destroyed because of literally the verse really means because of the fatness. That means the animal becomes so fat that it will simply naturally break the yoke. The yoke will be broken just by the strength and fatness of the ox, which is the prime strength. Okay. Now, the word shaman here, which can mean fatness, is being understood as shemen or Shemen by the Gemara. Because the word shaman in the Sof Pasuk is shaman. So the word shaman can either mean fatness from the word shuman, or it can mean oil. Okay? So essentially the Gemara is now learning it that the yoke is going to be destroyed because of the oil. So what oil are we talking about? It's Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Chubal ol shel Sancheirah. Mipnei shamno shel Chizkiyahu, Sancheirah's yoke is going to be destroyed because the yoke of Chizkiyahu. Because the oil of Chizkiyahu. What did Chizkiyahu do? Shayah domeit b'matei knesiyot b'matei medrashot. Because the oil burned late into the night in the prayer houses and in the learning houses. Ma'asa Chizkiyahu, lavia amlum lo Torah. What did Chizkiyahu do that caused them to learn Torah, and it was the power of this learning of Torah which saved them from Sancheirah. What do you do? Na'atz cherev al petach beit medrash. He would take the kingly sword and stick it on top of the doorpost in the beit medrash. Va'amar, and he would say, Kol mi she'eino osek b'Torah yidakev b'cherev zo. Anybody who lives and learns Torah is going to be stabbed by this sword. Batku midan v'ad be'ach sheva. From the north to the south. The no matzu amaretz. They didn't find anyone who didn't know Torah. Migvat, which is the Rom Eretz Yehuda. Va'ad Antipatis, which is north of Eretz Yehuda. lo matzu tinok v'tinoket ish v'isha shelo hayu bikiyim v'ilchot tuma v'tara. There wasn't a child, male or female. There wasn't a man or a woman who did not know kol, all the halachot of tuma and tara. They were extremely knowledgeable. It was a period of extreme knowledge and learning. Men and women. You will learn Torah. Mm-hmm. Right? I understand. Now, this is before Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua, but nevertheless, Gemara has no problem with this. Source number 7. Hazavim. Vazavot. These are, we have a list here of those who are ritually impure because of all sorts of flows from the body. Flowing from the body. With your Zavar Zava, a Nida, a Yoledet. All of them, Mutarim Likrot Batara, they're all permitted to read from the Torah, from the Nevi'im, Baktuvim. The Mishnah, the Mishnah, to learn Mishnah, the Medrash, Balachot, Ubagadot. They can all learn, even though they're ritually impure, they have no problem about learning Torah. Balikarian, those males who had nocturnal emission, or we also learned that a woman who sleeps with a man, where she also has an emission of semen, is also considered a balikarian, a sibul bikulam. They're not allowed to learn Torah. This is the Tekun and Ezra. This is Mishnah Torah. Tekun and Ezra instituted that after having a male having a seminal emission, or a woman who slept with a man, have to go to the mikvah before they're allowed to learn Torah and make certain brachot. This tekana is not enforced anymore. It was nullified shortly after. We already discussed that previously. The point again here is what? The women learn Torah. The fact that you're ritually impure, only Balkari is about. That was a special tekana of Ezra. But other than that, any other ritual impurity, your tamei met, your azav, a zava, your yoledet, your nida, no problem, you can learn Torah. So men and women could learn anything they wanted to. It seems they learned Mishnah. Alright, so we got a problem here. We got a clash of texts. Some texts implying that women didn't learn something, and are forbidden to learn a text, that suggests that women can learn, did learn. Alright, in order to resolve these discrepancies, we're going to have to go work through some of the codifiers. The codifier that we're going to deal with first, who essentially is the pace setter, who is essentially the one upon which all subsequent codifiers' codes are based, is Maimonides, Rav the Rambam. And the Rambam is located on page 153 in the Hebrew and 255 in English. All right. Okay, we're on King page 153 in the Hebrew and 255 in English. Rambam reads as follows. Isha Shalamda Torah. A woman who learns Torah, Yeshua, she grants reward, just like a woman who does any mitzvah she's not obligated in. She gets reward, she gets mitzvah points. She's not obligated, she gets reward. But there is a hitch. This is a paraphrasing of Gadol HaMitzuveh V'yoseh V'sheino Mitzuveh, the principle that if you're obligated and you do it, you get greater reward than if you're not obligated. V'afal pi sheyesh l'sa, and even though she gets reward, tzivu chachamim, the rabbis commanded, shelo yilmad adam et bito Torah, that a man should not teach his daughter Torah. Mipnei, now this is something brand new. Mipnei shirov hanashim ein datan mechuvenet litlamed, because most women are not intellectually trained, geared, able, right? Ein datan mechuvenot litlamed, are not prepared, and how they would, geared to learning. Umotziyot divrei Torah, the divrei Havai. And they take the words of Torah and they simplify it, make it very simplistic. Lefi eniyutotam, because of their simple minds. Because of the lack of intellectual ability for training. Okay? Let's just read the material objectively. Amru, because every word is counted here. That's really very, very important. We're going to spend a lot of time on this one. Because the Rambam's words are very counted. Okay, again. Amru Chachamim, the rabbi said, Kol amlamedet bito Torah, ki'ilu linda tiflut. Whoever teaches his daughter Torah is as if he taught her tiflut. Vamedva mamurim, what are these words saying? B'Torah shebal peh, but it deals with the oral law. Alo b'Torah shebichtav, but if it's simple, the written word, the Torah, lo yilmad ita lechatkila, lo yilmad ota lechatkila, he should not teach it a priori, that he should not teach it lechatkila, v'im linda, ain't a kamalam b'Torah, but if he teaches it, it's not tiflut. It's not improper teaching. Okay? Now, this Rambam has a lot of questions on this Rambam. First question. Okay? Why did the Rambam start off by telling us a woman of the service? Why? If he knows that somewhere along the way it's going to be usher, so I say, no, it's a wonderful thing for a woman to do, but you shouldn't do it. Well, why start off that way? What is he trying to communicate to us? Isha should be Isha Schar, and it's for that. The Afal be Isha Yeshna Schar, Zibu Chacham, right? What is the Rambam trying to do? It's a very strange thing.
He's separating the issue of the woman there and the person teaching. Because he says that she gets schar for learning, but you shouldn't. But if he's talking to the student and the teacher, separately.
What she said? That there is a possibility of interpretation of Rambam. This is a Rambam says if a woman learns Torah, she gets schar. No problem with her learning Torah. The problem is what? It's teaching her Torah. Okay. Now you say, wait a second. How is she going to learn? She's not teaching. Well, it's not so simple. There are a lot of things that nobody taught you, and yet you know. Because you listened, you hung around, you were motivated to learn them, you taught yourself, you knew a little bit, and you learned more. You opened up books, you studied. Most of what we know, we learned by ourselves. You know, most of what we know, we didn't learn in school. We learned how to learn. Okay? So there's a very great possibility that the woman learned, but that was never formally taught. Okay. But that's a very, you should correct you, that's a very important description. The Rambam says it. You have to read it right. But he says it. Now, and also the language. Okay, let's go to the next question. The Rambam says, V'af api sheyesh l'schar, tzivu chachamim shelo yilamedu. The language is tzivu chachamim. I don't know if you can appreciate, but that's a very strange language. The Rambam normally would have said, "Aslu chachamim lamei." Why does the Rambam pick the language tzivu? Right. Now, what you'd have to do, and we're going to do this. Now, right. Now, what would you do if you wanted to know what the word tzivu meant? You go through all the Rambam and see how the Rambam uses the word Vitzivu and try to understand what the word Vitzivu is. We're going to do that. We haven't. Somebody else did it for us. But to understand what the strange word Vitzivu, we go, it's clearly a strong word. I don't mind to belittle its strength. It's clearly giving us direction. The rabbis commanded. But you have to see what type of force does it have. Does it have a legal force? Does it have a moral force? Is the Chazal giving us advice? What's the nature of this? We'll see in a second. Okay, let's continue on. So it's a simul chachamim shelo yelamed adam et bito Torah. Mepnei, what's the next word? Sherov hanashim. That's the Jerov.
So,
Sherov
hanashim,
yeah.
It also says yelamed adam et bito Torah. So it could, someone else could teach it bito Torah. Or... Right. Or he can teach anybody, but if he could teach his wife or his mother or anybody but his
book. It could, that's a very clear possibility of interpretation. Not only that, bito, the implication seems to mean small girl. The implication would mean a young woman.
How would they say it was an older
girl? You're right, there's a problem, but you're talking about teaching, bito gives the impression that she's small. But you're right, it doesn't necessarily mean it. If she's an adult woman, it doesn't, logic seems to dictate.
But a 17-year-old is also an adult, so I don't...
Just one second. Okay. The Sherov HaNashim is you should not teach his daughter Torah, because the majority of women ain't that tongue the chuvan at them. They're not. What about the minority? Can you teach them Torah or can't you? That is who decides, what's the criteria, but the issue here of the rationale is very important. But you can already see that, and he also says, "Ein datam b'chuvenet l'itlamed u'mutziyot divrei Torah l'divrei Havayah." He doesn't mean there's a moral issue. He doesn't learn tiflut. By the way, what is he trying? What is he explaining here? Tiflut, right? Rabbi Kol Malamed Bita Torah Kiilu Malamda Tiflut. Rashi learned Tiflut as immorality, you're going to teach you how to be sneaky. He doesn't learn Tiflut that way. He learns Tiflut, meaning we saw, means without flavor. Means she doesn't learn it deeply. She learns it superficially, and she doesn't really get it. And therefore, she's gonna make light of it, or not in Havai means meaningless, because she doesn't know the fear that time, because she doesn't understand it properly. Amru chachamim kol ha-malamed et bito Torah ki'ilu malamda tif. What's the problem? The Rambam just translated for you what? What does kol ha-malamed bito Torah ki'ilu malamda tif? And he translates, uses his own words. He says, v'pnei sh'rov ha-nashim v'motziyot divrei Torah l'divrei Havayah tefilut. He says, you shouldn't teach your daughter Torah because you, that's, and he's translating, explaining to you. Why do you have to repeat it again? The Rambam doesn't waste words. He doesn't say, it's not like Shinemar, you know, he's reading a pasuk to prove it. He just translated for you word by word. What is Kol Hamalamed Bita Torah? He says, Lin Shalo Yalamed Bita Torah. He said two lines above. Ki Ilu Limda Tiflut. What is that? What does that mean? Bipnei Shalom Anashim Edam Lechuvan Amotziyot Divrei Torah Lidavim. He's translating it for you. He just did it two sentences before. Why does he give you the statement from the Gemara again? The Rambam's trying to transmit something to you. He's not verbose, not repetitive. The Rambam, every word is weighed. Okay. Next. B'med dvarim amurim b'Torah Shebal Peh. When is it tiflut by Torah Shebal Peh? About Torah Shebakhtav, but if it's the written word, lo yelamed ota lachatkhila, v'im limda ena kamalam betif. Now, what's the problem here?
You said this stuff, when you learn
with the question,
which is a very
common question. No, that's correct. No, she's not going to learn the question. Well, what's the problem? So if it's not the flaw, why can't you teach it? Where do we see? We have three views. We have three views. The view of Ben Azayas' teach. The view of Rabbi Elazar says that Stiflut, we saw, was only Torah Shebal Peh. And the view of Rabbi Shua, which seems, or Elazar Ben Azayas, says don't teach him Torah Shebichtav at all. Where do we see something? You shouldn't teach him, but it's but only Lachatchila. The Eved, if you're forced into it, or you think it's not, no problem. Where do we see such a view? Where does he get such a thing? All right. But I want you to make it very clear that this Rambam is jam-packed. And there's a tremendous amount of material here to stop making distinctions, to start making analyses that are very important. The first thing that I want to deal with is the last sentence. The Rambam's distinction between Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebal Kitab. The Rambam says that you should not teach your daughter Torah Shebal Peh, but Torah Shebal Kitab, you shouldn't lechatchila b'vidyevet, but it's not different. It's not different. Okay, why did he make such a distinction? Where does this distinction come from? Because maybe if you understand what the distinction comes from, you get a rationale. So let's look at the Turei Zahav, the Taz, which is right after the Rambam. Turei Zahav. Now, I should say the language of the Rambam is quoted almost verbatim by the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch actually is source number 8. And he quoted the source number 8, I just brought it. You want to compare, it's word for word the same thing. So the Shulchan Aruch simply adopts the Rambam verbatim, puts it right in into Yeridas and Reish Memba, right there. Okay, now we'll see what the Rambam adds, but not right now. So what is the Turei Zahav? Turei Zahav is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, and what does he say? Nachon v'tamo. He's right in making this distinction about Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebal Kitab. How do we know? Because we find by the Parshat HaMelech, which deals with Hakel et ha'am ha'anashim v'anashim. Gather the math of the men and the women. V'amelech hayal lomed mishnat Torah. He would read from them from the Torah. Okay? So what do we see? That he read to them Torah Shebichtav. So the women were there when the king taught Torah Shebichtav. V'yesh lahakshot. On the page. And now we can ask. The king would go ahead teaching them Torah. So where do you get that it's usher to teach women or should not teach women Torah Shebichtav? Nir'en li, dahatam lo dorash ha'melech ki im pshutei ha'dvarim. The king only taught the simple meaning of the text. V'zeh be'emet mutar. That's permissible. Aval l'didan l'chatchila kamo shiru aminag b'chol yom ma she'en ken b'limud perush divrei Torah derech hitchakmut v'avana asru l'chatchila. What the Rambam is forbidding is essentially what you hinted to, which is when you learn Torah, you don't learn just the text, you know, the vayomio, what they call ifritah. You're not simply translating the word, you know, from Hebrew to English, from Hebrew. You're not simply, what you're getting more commentary. The commentary with Rashi and the other commentary, that's already Torah Shebal Peh. And he says, that is asur. The chafkila is, well, the Rambam says to learn Torah, the Rambam is hinting to learn Torah on a little bit deeper level. Zeh muvan b'lashon ha'tamud. Anashim lomod v'nashim lishmoa. Anashim lo yisimu lev. The women should listen, means very simple, listen to the storyline. But not the more fundamental text, which is Torah Shebal Peh, very forbidden. Something what the Taz seems to be saying is that the Rambam is wary about teaching women Torah because naturally it leads into Torah Shebal Peh. The chatkila, you shouldn't teach the woman Torah because very naturally it's flows, because it's almost impossible to learn Torah Shabbatah without throwing the Torah Shabbatah. So the chatkila, you shouldn't teach the Torah Shabbatah. If you do, no nora, because it's essentially Torah Shabbatah plus a little bit. So that, no nora.
Text?
Text.
Not like Bible
stories,
something like that.
I don't think it's a Bible story.
Like Bible stories, it's more
Torah Shebal Peh
because you can never tell it
without. Right. Well, some putting some Midrashim on it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. They were pretty lenient about stuff that was talked orally and from the text because it was interpreted as a matter of faith. I need a little bit more flexibility on this point, which I haven't taught you yet. There's another point of flexibility which you put in when I get to that, you'll see. Okay. When David Pardo, in his book Shoshanim with David, states that the Rambam essentially was making a compromise. There's Masod that was being used. Right? Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Azai, Rabbi Elezer ben Hurkanus, who said only Torah Shabbat, and Rabbi Yeshua, Torah Shabbat, and he's actually making a compromise. But he's saying, the Chatkila you should worry about is more stringent opinion. But the Evan, if you taught, then we're really passing like the middle opinion. So that's his compromise. What?
And the
Evan,
she gets
hot. And the Evan, she gets hot, yeah. But she gets hot no matter what she does. Yes, yeah, she knows she gets hot. Let's now move on to the Prisha. The Prisha is on page 156. We're going to skip a little bit. I disagree with Colin Simmons already saying at this point. On page 260 in English. 260 English and 150s. Prisha, page 156. Okay? And now the Prisha is essentially going to say what Uriah said. Or say it more properly, Uriah said what the Prisha said. Lashon Haram, the language of the Rambam, says Uriah. Says the Prisha, I'm sorry. Lashon Haram, Rov Hanashim Ein Datan Mechuvanot Litlamed. Most of the women, he says, are not trained, are not geared to proper learning. Aval im lamdam me atzma, says the Prisha. But if she's an exception, she's not from the majority of women. She has demonstrated that she's an exceptional woman and that she is self-motivated. Aval im lamdam me atzma, she taught herself. Anu lo im she yatzah me'aro, we see that she is not from the majority, but she's from the minority. But lechach katav she yesh l'schar. That's why the Rambam started off by saying that a woman gets reward. She gets, as Uriella said, she gets reward for learning. The problem is not her learning. The question is, do we, as a public policy teacher, im lamda Torah al mechona she'ena motziya l'dibur ba, if she is intellectually trained and capable of learning the material properly, and she doesn't learn things or misunderstand things, that's perfectly all right. Okay? Look at note 68. Right at the bottom there, in English, I think it's note 58. Okay? I'm sorry, 57. B'divrei ha'prisha mishtameh, from the words of the prisha, it would seem, shalimud ha'atzmi, self-learning, mutal ha'chalutin, there's no problem. Even from books and Torah Shabbat, if she learns by herself, that's perfectly all right. Because learning by herself demonstrates that she is intellectually prepared for the material. She is self-motivated. And that's perfectly all right. So that's why the Rambam, okay? That's why the Rambam stresses the point that her learning is okay. Ha'av eino rashai lelamda, the father is not allowed to teach his daughter. Why? Dilma totzi dvareha lidivrei avai. Because maybe she's the type of girl who will take it up lidivrei avai. Ki hu'eino yodeh mashlibo, he doesn't know what it's like. The father's very, very prejudiced. He thinks his daughter is super. So therefore, he's not.